You're still with Let the Quran Speak. We're talking about Prophet Muhammad, and now we're talking about him as a prophet. So, Brother Shabir Ali, Angel Gabriel comes, gives the prophet the message. The prophet takes that message. So, how does he deal in terms of coming to grips with what just happened?
Yeah, well, what just happened is an interesting story. It is said that when the Prophet approached about 40 years of his age, he began to feel attracted to solitude. So he would go to a cave in the Mount Hira, just on the outskirts of Mecca, and there he would meditate. It is said that he practiced tahannuth, which is a word for some kind of meditation. He would be there for about 3 weeks at a time. He would take some provisions with him, and he would stay, and then he would return back home, take some more provisions, and go back. So these were like spiritual retreats, if you like. And on one such occasion, the angel Gabriel came to him and told him, "Read." And he said, "I'm not a reader." And he was told again, "Read." And he said, "Ma ana biqari," "I am not a reader." And again, he was commanded. And eventually, he got the sense that he could not get out of this. He has to just simply read. Because he said, "The angel grabbed me and pressed me, embraced me so hard that I thought it would be death. And then he released me and said to me, 'Ikra,' read." And then eventually, he asked in such a way as if it meant, "What am I supposed to read?" And then the angel said to him, "Ikra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq," "Read in the name of your Lord who created." And then he began to read the same thing. And these were the first passage, or this is a part of the first passage that was revealed to him of the Quranic text.
Okay, so how does the prophet come to grips with that?
Yeah, at first he found this difficult to understand because in his culture he had been aware that people who recite excellent poetry were somehow stimulated or inspired by some evil spirits like Satans or jinns. And he thought that something like this may be happening to him. So he rushed home, and he was trembling, and some of the reports about this say that he asked his wife to cover him, and his wife ascertained from him what happened. And she assured him that, in fact, this could not be an evil spirit that has just visited him, because, in fact, he is known to be a person of good character. He helps the widows, he looks after the orphans, he cares for the needy. And she doesn't think that God will allow him to be so misled by the devil. But she knew a cousin, Waraka bin Naufal, who was trained in some of the previous scriptures, and she thought that perhaps he might be able to make sense of this. And so the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, eventually went to Waraka bin Naufal, and having heard his story, he said that what has come to him is the namus that came to Moses. Namus seems to be a variety of the Greek word nomos, which means law. And probably what Waraka bin Naufal meant is that the one who brought the law to Moses has now come to bring some revelation to the Prophet Muhammad.
Okay, so Prophet Muhammad starts to believe in his own message, the message that was given to him by Angel Gabriel. He starts to deliver that message, and he starts to acquire followers. His followers, the people that believed in him, how did they relate to each other? Was he always the prophet and the man all in one, or was he the prophet at one point and then at another point the person Muhammad?
Well, by this time, he had now received this commission from God. He is now a prophet, but some time was given to him, a kind of a weaning period, so that he can become accustomed to this new role. And it would be sometime after that that he gets a revelation that says that he must get up and deliver the message, "Kum fa'anzir," "Arise and proclaim." He is told in the same vein to warn his near relatives, and gradually the circle increases so he can warn the people more at large. In the early days, his message was rejected by his people, and he was threatened with persecution. And so he had to keep a lid on things a little bit. He had private meetings with some of his early followers. He gathered in a house called Darul Arkam, the House of Arkam, where he can teach his close followers the new revelations as they were being revealed to him, and where they could have prayers together.
Okay. How did his followers see him?
Well, they naturally regarded him as a prophet and as a messenger of God. Mm-hmm. And they were willing, through thick and thin, to stick with him and to bear whatever persecutions might be thrown their way. But they were only few, mm-hmm. and they were largely people of very little influence. Mm-hmm. It seems that those who were influential preferred to keep things as they are, because mm-hmm. the status quo mm-hmm. maintained their influence for them. They didn't want to see changes.
Mm-hmm. In this show, we talked about different aspects of the Prophet and the different aspects of Islam, which in turn is different aspects of the Prophet. So moving forward, the message of Islam spreads, the power or the influence of Prophet Muhammad also increases, and he becomes a political leader, a spiritual leader. He acquires different titles. So how does he as a person deal with those different titles?
Of course, you won't have time in this show to deal with all of that, but in another show, we can come back and expand on this topic mm-hmm. A little later, in more depth. Mm-hmm. But in short, we can say that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, lived the remainder of his life as a prophet, as a messenger of God. These were the most important titles, mm-hmm. and he demonstrated in every way that he was fit to be a leader and a spokesman on behalf of God. And before the end of his life, the people who opposed him so had largely embraced the religion of Islam, because they saw that resistance to this movement was futile. Mm-hmm. It has the backing and support of God. And after all, it is the truth. Mm-hmm. Why reject it?
Mm-hmm. Earlier I asked you, in terms of his followers, he was a prophet, but also he was a person. So in terms of decision making or different aspects of different things, did his followers always, I guess, regard him as the prophet and the man, or can they actually like voice their opinions and have disagreements with him, so relate to him as a person?
Yes, they did relate to him as a person. His wives did, his followers did. They recognized the difference between that which is being revealed to him from God and that which might be his personal opinion, mm-hmm. and they treated each accordingly.
Okay, thank you very much. That's it for now.
You're welcome.
And we'll go to the Q&A after the break.